So don't worry about it. Just ignore it. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I agree too. But there you go. All right. Today's agenda is a segue. It's a digression. We keep dancing around the subject. We keep mentioning it, discussing it in context. But somewhere along the line, we have to deal with it. And so today we're going to address the question. Is it Pesach? Would you like to discuss Pesach? No, we'll talk Pesach. Is the subject of Kevaracha. A very sensitive and a very touchy subject, but nonetheless one that we have to address. So, because this subject touches on the geography of Israel, geography, location of tribal territory, etc. I've given you a map. We'll come back to this map in a moment. But in order to get to this map, we're going to divide this discussion into three parts. Part one is to get a sense of the geography of the story. Where is this story taking place? Because what I have carefully avoided so far is a reference to Shaul and Shmuel's journeys. Where are they coming from? Where are they going to? We've kind of mentioned all these places and said, well, we'll deal with it. So sooner or later, we have to deal with it. So let's go back to the beginning of the story, which is in Perek Tet. Get a sense of a little bit of the geography. So Shaul, the story began back in Perek Tet when Shaul started a journey on his father's behest looking for the lost donkeys. So let's go back to that conversation. Literally the beginning of the Perek. Vayhi ish mi ben Yamin, ushmo Kish ben Aviel, ben Tzur, ben Bechorat, ben Afiach, ben ish Yimini, gebochayel. ולא היה בן ושמו שאול בחור וטוב ואין איש מבני ישראל טוב ממנו משכמו ומעלה גבוה מכל העם. Background, first two verses, שאול בן קיש, family lineage, שבט בנימין, which of course will become relevant to our discussion of Kefer Rachel. And פסוק גימול, ותאבדנה האתות לקיש אבי שאול. The donkeys went missing. To Kish's donkeys, to whatever they were used for. Vayomer Kisho Shaul beno, kach netcha et achad me'anarim, v'kum lech bakesh et ha'atonot. Go and seek the atonot. What we are not told at this point is where they're starting their journey from. They're about to embark on a journey, and they're going to travel to various places. We know that he's from Shevet Binyamin. It doesn't necessarily mean he's living in the territorial region of Shevet Binyamin. It's likely, but it's not necessary. But Pasuk Dalet begins to identify the geography of their journey. So what it says is as follows, Ve'avor b'har Ephraim. He traveled through Har Ephraim. Ve'avor be'eretz shalisha, they traveled through Eretz Shalisha. Eretz Shalisha, the land of Shalish. We'll talk about what that is in a moment. Ve'lo matzav, and they were unable to find the donkeys. I guess they must have been branded because you see a donkey on the street, on the road, or on the mountains. Yeah, how do you know which one? So I'm assuming they must have been branded. Ve'avru be'eretz sha'alim va'ayin. Traveled to the land of sha'alim. Still couldn't find them. Ve'avor be'eretz yemini v'lo matzau. Come to the land of yemini. Till finally hem avau be'eretz tzuf. Finally they come to the land of tzuf. Yeshul amar l'na'aro shirimo. And that's when the story begins. And they say they want to go home until he says, oh, wait a second. Isn't there a Navi around town? So where's around town? Where are we? All I have is a bunch of regions in the land of Israel that aren't familiar to us because they're not common names. We're familiar with the typical division of the land of Israel into territories named like the Jordan Valley, the coast, the Negev, the Shvelah, the Har, Har Chevron, Shomron, Galil. Those are names that are familiar to us. Eretz Shalisha, Eretz Sha'alim, Eretz Tzuf. What are these places and where are they? And they're not necessarily unfamiliar to us because we're just ignorant of where they are. They're unfamiliar to us because these are unique names, and it's not clear to the Mefarshim, to the historians, to the Bible scholars. There's a lot of questions and question marks around this journey. So what I've given you is a map that is from the Karta Atlas of Biblical Maps, which is an attempt to kind of make some sense of this journey. In order to understand this map, however, I want you to take a look at this map first. Okay, this is a map we've seen, we're very familiar with. This map is quickly coming to its end of our utility. Once we start towards the end of Shaul, end of Shaul's time, beginning of David, we're going to flip to the next map. So it has served us well since the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. But if you look at this map, you can see Yerushalayim here. If you're given a blank map of Israel, you can always know where Yerushalayim is. What's the trick to know where Yerushalayim is? If you're given a blank schematic map of Israel, how do you know
Yerushalayim? Go to the top of the Dead Sea.
Top of the Dead Sea, and you go due west. Right. That's the location of Yerushalayim, literally at the edge of the Dead Sea. Everything south of Yerushalayim, according to vast majority of opinions, everything south of Yerushalayim belongs to Shevet Yehuda. Everything north of Yerushalayim, between Yerushalayim, Yericho, Beit El, and the area of Sha'alabim, this oval shape region, which in the Navi is described as the valley between the shoulder blades or the shoulders of the mountain ridges, right? Katef Yericho, Katef Yerushalayim, all of this is Shevet Binyamin. North of Beit El is the division between Binyamin and Ephraim. North of Beit El, you're into the territory of Ephraim, all the way up to north of Shechem, when you get into the region of Menashe. What we call today the area of the Shomron is essentially Har Ephraim and Menashe. From a perspective of the division of the Shvatim, that's very important for us because this whole discussion is about where is Rachel buried, and a lot of that revolves around the identification of the location of the Shvatim.
Are all journeys as important as you seem to be making this one out?
Well, there's two sides to it. There's just understanding text, in which case that's important. But in our case, there's a much bigger issue because all of this interconnects with the question of where is Kever Rachel. And so in our case, it's particularly important because where his journey is, where he's physically located, Shaul and Shmuel, when they're having this conversation, impacts our understanding of the verse related to Kever Rachel, and that we're going to see in a moment, or in a few minutes. So if you look at this map that I've just given you, which is photocopied out of the Dat Mikra and Atlas Karta. So let's just orient ourselves. Top of Yam HaMelech, due west, Yerushalayim. So everything south of Yerushalayim is the territory of Yehuda. Starting with Yerushalayim, we're just going to do a bit of a circle around the map. Take your finger southwest from Yerushalayim, two mountain ridges over, and you'll see Beit Lechem. Mm-hmm. That is essentially Beit Lechem today, what we refer to as Beit Lechem. continue down in the straight line from Yerushalayim to Beit Lechem, continue that line, and you'll get to Hebron. Mm-hmm. Beneath Hebron, you'll see in large letters the words Yehuda. That's the tribal territory of Yehuda, south of Yerushalayim. So far, everybody with me? Now, let's just draw out Sheva Binyamin for a moment. Yerushalayim. Draw a line from Yerushalayim in your mind's eye. Draw a line from Yerushalayim to Yericho. Mm-hmm. From Yericho to Beit El. From Beit El. Right? Mm-hmm. We're drawing an oval. We're drawing an oval.
Okay,
Yerushalayim to Yericho. Yericho to Beit El. Beit El to Ayalon, Kiryat Yarim, Eshta'ol, that's already Shevet Dan, which is to the left of Binyamin, so sort of that area, as you come down the mountain.
Say those Kiryat names Yerim. Again, please.
Just draw an oval. If you have 3 points of an oval, you should be able to draw the oval.
Okay.
Exactly where the border is between Binyamin and Dan to the west of Binyamin is not clear, but that's essentially the area of Shevet Binyamin. You can see the words Binyamin written there. In the middle, do you see that? Just beneath the words Beit El, you'll see spread out the words Binyamin. North of Beit El, or north of Binyamin for that matter too, is the area that is referred to as Har Ephraim, the mountain of Ephraim. Har Ephraim is enormous. Har Ephraim is essentially what we would call today the Shomron, and Har Ephraim includes areas in the territory of Binyamin, includes areas in the territory of Ephraim, and includes areas in the territory of Menashe. But tribal affiliation, Ephraim, is north of Binyamin. You see there it says Ephraim. It's actually, if you look carefully, it says Har Ephraim. Do you see that? Okay.
So is that the Suf that they're referring to is all the way up there?
Oh. We're going to get to that in a moment.
The Suf is north. That's up there. That's
correct. And we're going to get to that in a second. So now, right. So here's where the consensus around the journey of Shaul seems to be, that we're starting somewhere in the area of Binyamin. So let's start here in, let's say, Giv'on. Giv'ah, Giv'on, Ramah. Okay, that seems to be the starting point. The journey goes first. And if you start from Giv'on, you see where it has a dotted line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be the journey that Shaul takes. So he heads first into what is today referred to as the Jordan Valley, north of Yericho. And if you go north of Yericho, you draw a line straight north of Yericho, you'll see a mark on the map called Eretz Shlosha or Eretz Shalisha. The reason they refer to it as Eretz Shalisha is because it comes from the word, it comes from the description of that which harvests early. The early crop is referred to as that which is bashel, which ripens. Bashel means ripen, early. And so the coast was the Jordan Valley was that region here. From Eretz Shalisha, he moved to. What does the Pasuk say? From Eretz Shalisha, he moved to Eretz Sha'alim. Okay, so from Eretz Shalisha, he's now journeying to Eretz Sha'alim, Ofra, mm-hmm. Baal Chatzor, mm-hmm. somewhere in between Beit El and Shiloh. He's now in Har Ephraim. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because the Pasuk reads, Ve'avor b'Har Ephraim. He's traveling in Har Ephraim. So he first goes north. When looking from Binyamin, he's looking for his donkeys, he first goes north. He goes north into Har Ephraim, starts at Eretz Shalisha, then he journeys into Eretz Sha'alim. When he still can't find the donkeys, then he heads further north into Eretz Yemini. Now, Eretz Yemini, according to most authorities here, doesn't mean Binyamin.
So that's all the way up there.
It means, right, he means all the way up into
so that's
the,
why they said Suf is there.
I'm going to get to Suf in a moment.
Suf is
all the way up to the top of the mountains. And then, still can't find it. Hey, Mabau be'Eretz Suf. So they head back south. And they're heading south, and they get to the region of Eretz Suf. Now,
Important donkeys.
Eretz.
But why did they go in that direction to begin with, though?
We don't know. I suspect partially is because God wants him to end up by where Shmuel is, and Shmuel is in this area right now. Mm-hmm. But also partially, it's possible that he suspected that the donkeys were heading north. We don't know. Now, all we do know is that eventually he will come back south.
So he's making like a circle.
Okay, eventually he'll come back south, because remember, one of the otot was about Beit El. Right, by finding the people going to Beit El. So we're going to get to that in a moment. He's headed back south from Eretz Yemini into Eretz Tzuf. Now, if you look in Eretz Tzuf, you'll see a city that may sound familiar to us. There is a city in Eretz Tzuf referred to, known as Ramatayim Tzufim. So first of all, something about names, biblical names. Names of cities in Tanakh often repeat themselves. So, for example, there's a Ramah in Shevet Binyamin, very famous city of Ramah in Shevet Binyamin. We'll see it the course of the course of the Shia today. But there's a Ramah in Shevet Ephraim. There's a Ramah in other Shvatim. Why is there a Ramah everywhere?
People like a place with a view.
Because Ramah means a hilltop. It means a place that's on high.
It costs more money.
Okay. And so they generally would build communities, cities, in locations strategically where you were up on a hill.
So you could see what's going on.
It was a strategic decision, which is actually not so dissimilar to decisions about where to put yeshuvim today. Hence, many of the yeshuvim today are called either Ramot something or other, or Mitzpeh something or other. And similarly, in Tanakh, you have cities referred to as mitzpeh, which comes from the word tzofeh, which is to look.
Scout.
Okay, it's the same word, right? And it's to look, to watch, right? Litzpot is to anticipate or to look out. So you have cities that are, and you have the city of Mitzpeh, for example. There's four different places in Tanakh referred to as mitzpeh. There's mitzpeh in Shevet Binyamin, there's mitzpeh in Shevet Ephraim, there's mitzpeh in the north. And we'll see that in the stories as well. So you have many places we refer to as Ramah, you have many places referred to as Mitzpeh, you have cities that are religious in significance, that are temple-centered, Jewish or non-Jewish, referred to as Beit El. Anytime you put a temple in a city, you're going to call it Beit El. And we'll see a similar phenomenon with the city of Beit Lechem. There's a city of Beit Lechem in virtually every Shevet in Israel. There's a city of Beit Lechem referred to in Divrei Hayamim in Shevet Zvulun. There's a city of Beit Lechem in Shevet Ephraim. There's a city of Beit Lechem in Shevet Yehuda.
Why?
Because any farmland is called Beit Lechem. Okay, any fertile region is called Beit Lechem. In fact, some suggest that Beit Lechem and Ephrat are synonymous with each other, because Ephrat comes from the word priyah, which is fertility. So a fertile land, which is a land which is good for farming, is called Farah or Priyah or Ephrat or Beit Lechem. And you'll have names of cities like that all scattered through the land of Israel.
So in the book of Ruth, it doesn't have to be the Beit Lechem we know.
Oh, there it's the Beit Lechem Yehuda, so it's a little bit more complicated. Oh. Okay, and we're going to see, I have a whole list of places of Beit Lechem that are referred to, some places as Beit Lechem Yehuda, and other places as Beit Lechem. I'll show you that list in a moment.
So maybe okay. It's Beit Lechem in here, is it the one we think of? It?
That, certainly one of the issues we're going to have to contend with. Now, Ramatayim Tzofim is an interesting city. Why? So first of all, what does the name mean?
The Hill of the Scouts.
Right. So it's a double. It's a tautology.
Right.
Okay. Ramah Tzofim, Ramatayim Tzofim. It's a tautology. Right? Essentially, a double language. But it's also a name we are familiar with.
Ramatayim
Tzofim. Who lived in Ramatayim Tzofim? Who came from Ramatayim Tzofim? Whose hometown was Ramatayim Tzofim? Ha ha. And the plot thickens. Well, who comes from Ramatayim Tzofim? Take a look in Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Do we remember Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph? Way back at the beginning of this, way back at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Wait, it gets even better. Vayhi ish echad min haramatayim tzofim. Now, why is the land called Eretz Tzuf? Why is the land called Eretz Tzuf?
The lookout.
Because it's a mountain ridge. So it has a tsofeh, you can see from there. So Eretz Tzuf, Ramatayim Tzufim, Ramah of Tzuf is called Ramatayim Tzufim. Ramah of Binyamin, Ramah of Ephraim, Ramah of, right, there's Ramahs everywhere. You want to identify what it's called. The same way we have different cities called Ramah. This Ramah is referred to as Ramat or Ramatayim Tzufim. Maybe it was a double hill in the land of Tzuf. Vahi ish echad min Ramatayim Tzufim. Mehar Ephraim. Ushmo Elkanah. Wait, it gets better. Elkanah ben Yerucham ben Elihu ben Tochu ben Tzuf Ephrati. Why is he called Ephrati? No, he's not from Ephrat.
He's in Ephraim.
Because he's in Ephraim. Because Ephrati also means from Ephraim. Just to like my even more confusing for us.
Isn't that Menashe up there?
Not yet. South of Shechem, it's still a friend. So Elkanah's hometown is Ramatayim Tzofim, right? Which isn't so far from Shiloh, which is hence the journey from Ramatayim Tzofim to Shiloh was not such a long journey. Okay. Now, jump. Let's go back to where we were. Only this time, we're going to jump to Perek Yud.
Always take all this time to go look for donkeys? I mean, I realize that
I don't know. But I guess it's a reflection of his dedication to the task at hand and a few other possible agendas.
It was meant to be.
All right. Perek Yud. Vayikach Shmuel et pach Hashem vayitzok al roshu vayishakehu. Shmuel anoints Shaul with this oil. And he says, God has anointed you over his people as a leader, which brings us to our Pasuk. Pasuk Bet. B'lechtecha hayom me'imadi. As you depart from me, umatzata shnei anashim im kvurat Rachel b'gvul Binyamin b'tzaltzach. In chapter 10, pasuk verse 2, perek yud, pasuk bet, v'lechtecha hayom me'imadi, u'matzata shnei anashim im kvurat Rachel b'gvul Binyamin b'tzaltzach. When you depart from me, you will encounter two people by, with, at, near, from. Translate the word im and you get into trouble. Okay? Im kvurat Rachel, in the territorial boundaries of Binyamin, in Tzeltzach. We don't know what Tzeltzach is either, just to make life more interesting. And what they tell you is they'll tell you that the donkeys have been found. The rest of the story today is, for today, is irrelevant. So what's the problem? If I read this pasuk directly and simply,
how did they get done?
Ve'alachta. Lechtecha hayom me'imadi u'metzata shnei anashim im kurat Rachel b'gvul Binyamin b'tzal tzach. As you leave my presence now, you will find two people, encounter two people in the by Kever Rachel in the boundary of Binyamin in Tzeltzach. Simply put, without any fancy footwork, what is this pasuk telling me? Where is Kever Rachel?
In
Gvul Binyamin. Now, Gvul Binyamin is a big area. We don't necessarily know where in Gvul Binyamin, somewhere in the area of Tzeltzach, but he's on his way towards Beit El, because the next encounter after that, v'chalafta misham, v'hala, you'll leave there, and pasuk gimel, uvata ad elon tavor, From there you will go to Elon Tavor, umetzauch Hashem shlosha anashim olim ale Elokim Beit El. And you'll encounter three people heading to Beit El. So you're first going to encounter these two people by Gvur Ben Yamin and Tzotzach, or by Kever Rachel. Then you're going to go to Har Tavor, and you're going to meet people going to Beit El. So now I'm in the area of Beit El.
Where's Har Tavor?
It's also part of the question.
Isn't Har Tavor where it is today?
So the question is, what's Elon Tavor? And you say Elon Tavor, Har Tavor, all these places are the same. Elon Tavor is not on this map, correct?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Just to make life more interesting. Now, all of this is a problem for us. Why? Why is there any problem at all?
This isn't Beit Lechem in Yehuda, right, or Beit Lechem that we know of is in Yehuda.
That's right, because we go back to Sefer Bereishit, and actually, I'll hand that out too, if you don't mind. Actually, I have an extra one, so that's fine.
This is yours, or this?
No, that's an extra. Oh. That's fine. I have one. Go to Bereishit Mem. Well, it's in two places. It's in Bereishit Mem Chet and Bereishit Lamed Hey. It's two different verses. I actually meant to put the verses on the page and I forgot, so I apologize. Let's go to Bereishit Lamed Hey first, which is the death of Rachel. Sukim. Well, let's go back a little bit, just so we get the beginning of the story. Yaakov and Lavan. Yaakov's leaving Lavan's house. Yaakov is. They make a pact between them. Then he leaves and he comes back to the land of Israel. He has the entire encounter with Dina in Shechem. Remember where he's coming from. He's with Dina in Shechem. Correct? That's Perek Lamed Dalet. Perek Lamed Hey begins, Kuma le Beit El v'shev sham v'asei sham izbeach l'kel anirai lecha. Yaakov is told to go back to Beit El, where his first encounter was in the first place, assuming that that's the same Beit El that we have today. That's the next part of the journey. So we go from north to Shechem, and Shechem due south to Beit El. Let's see what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay. Yaakov is journeying back from Laban's house on his way home with pregnant Rachel.
Right.
Gets to Shechem, Parash of Dina.
So Rachel was alive for that.
Oh yeah.
She's pregnant.
Perek Lamed Dalet. Rachel dies in Perek Lamed Hey.
I didn't realize that.
Rachel, on the way, they get to Beit El. Yaakov says, after Shechem, Yaakov is told to go back to Beit El to the Mizbeach. And now he's heading south. Why is he heading south? He's ostensibly going back to his father, who is in... It's actually your father's in Beersheba, but and he's heading back south.
To where?
Hebron, Beersheba, one of the areas in the south.
Hello.
Okay, it has to last me a few more weeks. Then, beginning of Pasuk Tet, he has his nevuah again with in Beit El, where God says to him he's going to have more children. From there, he goes, places a matzeva there, Pasuk Tet Vav. Vayikra Yaakov et shem ha'makom asher diber ito sham Elokim Beit El. God spoke to him in this place. He calls it Beit El. Again, Beit El is a name you give to any city that has religious significance, so it's not necessarily clear that it's the same Beit El that we refer to today. Vayis'umi Beit El. They're traveling from Beit El. Everybody have it? Vayihi od kivrata aretz lavo efrata. Now, if you translate this phrase, you're going to bias the conversation. So that's part of our problem. Because the word kivrata aretz is the centerpiece of the conversation, of the discussion in the Mefarshim. What does Kivrat Ha'aretz mean? Measurement of land, a measurement of distance, it's not clear. But there's this Kivrat Ha'aretz to come to Efrat, Vateled Rachel vatekashbuli detar Rachel goes into labor, difficult labor. Skip a couple of psukim because I'm going to skip the conversation now about the birth of Binyamin. Pasuk Gitet, Vatamot Rachel, she dies. Vatikaver bederech Efrata hi Beit Lachem. She's buried in the road to Efrat. Derech Efrata. Efrata is Beit Lachem. He Beit Lachem. Understand? Vayatzev Yaakov matziva al kvurata I matzevet kvurat Rachel ad hayom. Yaakov there placed a kever, a matziva on her kever. Okay? Similar verse we find in Perek Memchet when Yaakov is defending his decision to bury Rachel, not in Marat HaMachpelah, in Hebron, where everybody else is buried. He's defending this decision to his son, Yosef, because he's trying to explain to Yosef why Yosef needs to take him and bury him in Mitzrayim, in Israel, in Marat HaMachpelah, even though he says to Yosef, I didn't bury your mother there. And he explains why he didn't bury his mother there. Perek Memchet, Pasuk, Memchet.
It's 58, but I don't know
what's
line yet.
Pasuk Zion. V'ani, bevoi mi Padan, as I was coming down from Padan, meta alai Rachel. Rachel died on me. Mm-hmm. Which is an expression you would use when you describe somebody dying suddenly, unexpectedly, prematurely. Right? She died on me. I was on the road. I was coming down from Padan Aram, and she died on me. Be'eretz Kna'an, in the land of Kna'an, baderech, on the road. Ba'od kivrat eretz, lavo Efrata, when there's still a kivrat eretz to come to Efrat. Ve'ekbereash v'sham baderech Efrat. He bit lachem, and I buried her there. But derech Efrat, he bit lachem. So now, the road to Efrat. So first of all, just by information, where is Yaakov in relation to his destination? His destination, ostensibly to this description of to Yosef, would be Kever Marat Machpelah in Hebron, and he can't get there. Od kivat eretz lavo Efrata, he bit lachem. Still a kivat eretz to get to Efrat, which is Beit Lechem. So you certainly can't get to Hebron.
I mean, it's too far.
So I'm assuming that his explanation is that it's too far. Now, it's too far for two reasons. It's too far because in the time of Tanakh, somebody died, especially while traveling, in the season of, let's assume for a moment, they're in the spring or summer season, the heat is intense. You can't take a body through a journey of several days in that kind of heat. It's just not done. Okay? Even the Meis Mitzvah, you bury it on the side, right? Because it was you can use your imagination. So the notion that he would love to bring her to Hebron, it's just too far. Od kivat eretz lavo Efrata hi Beit Lachem. They can't even get to Efrat, which is Beit Lachem. You certainly can't get all the way to Yerushalayim, all the way to Hebron. Okay? That's ostensibly the argument. Typically, we understand this to mean Beit Lachem of today, which would put Rachel's kever where?
Where it is today.
Where it is today, which is where?
On the way to Efrat.
Okay, well, not quite on the way to Efrat. It's Beit Lechem. Efrat is called Efrat because it's near Beit Lechem. Okay, that modern day Efrat is not the biblical Efrat. Biblical Efrat is Beit Lechem. Efrat and Beit Lechem is the same name. It comes from the word Puria, which means fertile land. So, if Beit Lechem / Efrat is the same Beit Lechem that it is today, that we have today, then the location of Kever Rachel is tribally in which territory?
Yehuda.
South. Anything south of Yerushalayim is Shevet Yehuda. Klal Gadol. Yerushalayim is the bound is the border city between Yehuda in the south and Binyamin in the north. That's a fund, that's a critical piece of information for understanding Sefer Shmuel, understanding David HaMelech, understanding the whole dynamic of the split of the kingdom. Yerushalayim is the border city between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. So if Bet Lechem Yehuda, which is south of Yerushalayim, places Rachel in Shevet Yehuda. Mystery. Why is it a mystery?
Because you just
said it was on the border. It said there, because in Sefer Shmuel it says,
but where was
Tzeltzach?
That's the thing.
So we don't know what Tzeltzach is, but I'm more interested in the tribal connection, because regardless of where Tzeltzach is,
you still have the issue there.
Binyamin is north of Yerushalayim, right. Yehuda is south of Yerushalayim. Right. There's nowhere to slice around that. Right. Except according to one opinion that says that there's a little tiny territorial island of Binyamin inside Shevet Yehuda, which is the location of Kevar Rachel. Oh, but it doesn't make any sense. Right. So everything south of Yerushalayim is Yehuda, everything north of Yerushalayim is Binyamin, Beit El is north of Yerushalayim, Chevron Beit Lechem is south of Yerushalayim. Where is Rachel Imenu buried?
Not where they say she is.
Okay. If it's where they say she is today, then it is in Shevet Yehuda. If it is north, if it is not where she is today, then it could be in Shevet Binyamin. The question becomes where? And why do we have a tradition that places Kevar Rachel in Shevet Yehuda? That's the mystery. Those are the variables. Sefer Breishit, which identifies Beit Lechem, which ostensibly I would assume is the Beit Lechem of today, maybe. It's assumed that that's the case, that places Rachel in Beit Lechem. Sefer Shmuel places Rachel in
Ephraim.
Some one of those two traditions is going to have to be modified in order for these two sources to connect. So either I've got to understand, either I have to reinterpret Beit Lechem of Ephrat, Derech Ephrat to Beit Lechem, where that location is, in which case I can move Kevar Rachel, then I have to figure out what I do with Kevar Rachel today, or I have to modify our understanding of this Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. Now, given those two options, you can assume fairly fairly confidently that you're going to have opinions on both sides of the fence, literally.
So
both academic...
wife.
So that's what he explains to Yosef, that he was buried with Rachel, with Leah.
Yeah.
This whole conversation Tebbi had about Sefer Breishit, about Leah and Rachel and their relationship, that's not for
today.
Now. So what do we do with all of this? So take a look now in the page that I just handed to you. I want to show you two things on this page. First, there's two sides to this page. There's a side of sources, and there's a side of like a chart of verses. Look at the side of verses for a moment first, just to defend my observation earlier that Beit Lechem isn't necessarily always the same city. Take a look in Sefer Yehoshua, where it says Beit Lechem Yehuda on the right side, and then Beit Lechem B'Sha'ar HaShvatim on the left?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you look on the left-hand side, we know what Beit Lechem Yehuda is. We take a look on the left-hand side. Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yetet. Vayal ha-gavala shloshim livnei Zvulun. Territory of Zvulun is Emek Yisrael, up north. Amongst the cities that are mentioned, v'katat v'nahalal v'shimron v'id'ala u'vet lachem. Okay? So, clearly there's a Beit Lechem in Shevet Zvulun. There are others as well. Not only is there a... Then if you look on the right hand side, references to Beit Lechem that we know of as Beit Lechem Yehuda abound, and there's a constant reference to them as Beit Lechem Yehuda. Shoftim, Behina mi Beit Lechem Yehuda, Mishpachat Yehuda v'Ulevi v'Ugasham. Beginning of the story of Pesel
Micha.
Ve'elach Ish Meir mi Beit Lechem Yehuda. Sefer Shoftim Perek Yutet, the story of Pilagesh Begiva. Vayehi Beim Mehem Umelachem Beisov Yish Levi Gar Biyarkatei Har Ephraim. Vayikach Lo Isha Pilagesh Mi Beit Lechem Yehuda, tribal conflict, marriage, intermarriage between two tribes. Beit Lechem Yehuda, referred to over and over and over again in that story. Beit Lechem is never referred to in that story as Beit Lechem. It's always referred to as Beit Lechem Yehuda. David, Ben Ish Ephrati Hazemi Beit Lechem Yehuda. Micha, Ve'ata Beit Lechem Ephrata Tse'ir Liot Be'alfei Yehuda. Rut, Ve'hi Be'imei Shvot HaShoftim, Ve'hi Ba'a Ba'arat Ve'el Lechish Mi Beit Lechem Yehuda. Rut, V'shem Ish Alimelech, V'shem Ishton Ami, V'shem Shnei Banav Machlom V'choyon Ephratim Mi Beit Lechem Yehuda. Either from Ephrat, right? Either from Ephrat, Beit Lechem Yehuda, or there could be people from tribe Shevet Ephraim living in Beit Lechem Yehuda. That is not uncommon. So it's an interesting anomaly that Beit Lechem that we know of as Beit Lechem Yehuda is always referred to as Beit Lechem Yehuda in contradistinction to other cities of Beit Lechem that could be from other tribes. Now, when Rachel dies, what does the Pasuk say? V'tamat Rachel v'tikaver b'derech Ephrata, he Beit Lechem. Now, it's true, it can't say Beit Lechem Yehuda at that point in time because the tribes haven't been divided in the land yet. But it leaves open the question which Beit Lechem / Ephrat is the subject of this conversation. And even if, here's another way of looking at it, even if Beit Lechem and Ephrat of Sefer Bereishit is the same Beit Lechem Yehuda that we referred to all along. What does Derech Ephrata mean? What did the road between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv used to be called before they built the superhighway? Anybody know? No, the road. Anybody? You ever drive in the old road between Tel Aviv? You ever drive in the old road between Tel Aviv and Petah Tikva?
Yeah, the Burma road.
Not the Burma. Burma is through the mountains. The whole highway. Let's start from the simple. Do you ever drive in the old road between Tel Aviv and Petah Tikva?
Yeah.
Okay, what's it called? It's called Derech Petah Tikva.
Because that's where it's gone.
Right.
Derech
Hebron is the road that leads from Yerushalayim to Hebron. The road that the old road that used to go from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv was called Derech Yafo.
Right.
Rechov Yafo today in Yerushalayim is called Rechov Yafo because it's the continuation of what used to be referred to as Derech Yafo, which was the road all the way to
Yafo.
Cities are roads are always named by their destination. Mm-hmm. When the Jews left
it's
Egypt, correct. Clayton. When the Clayton, right, exactly right. Clayton Road. Roads are always named by their destination. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, and God didn't take them along the coast, what was the name of the road that God didn't take them along? Derech?
Eretz Plishtim.
Eretz Plishtim is all the way up north. So this whole road is called Derech Eretz Plishtim, yeah, because roads are named by their destination. So you could be on Derech Ephrata for miles. She's buried b'derech Ephrata hi Beit Lechem. It never says she's buried in Beit Lechem. It never says she's buried in Ephrat. It says she's buried on the road that leads to Ephrat, which is Beit Lechem. You could be anywhere along that road. Go figure out where. And not only does it say anywhere along that road, it says ba'od kivrat aretz lavo Ephrata. There's still a Kivrat Eretz to get to Ephrat. Now, that's where the mystery begins. What is Kivrat Eretz? So here's, I'll show you an interesting conversation in the Mefarshim. Turn the page over.
So she might not be buried here?
So who's buried in?
Who is buried there?
Before I draw that conclusion, I got to first tell you where I think she might be buried, and then we can talk about who might not
be
buried. Okay, and then we have to talk about, and we only have 20 minutes left, and then we have to talk about what all this means for us the next time we go to Israel and go visit Kever Rachel and daven there for.
It's really ugly now.
Okay, so. Okay, source number one. Source number one is Rashi. Rashi makes one of the first commentaries to address this question, And Rashi says the following. Kivrat Aretz. What does Kivrat Aretz mean? So first he says Midat Aretz. It's a measurement. Kivrat Aretz is a measurement of land, of distance. Vehem, says Rashi, Alpayim Amak Midat Trum Shabbat. It's 2,000 Amot. 2,000 Amot is approximately 3,000, between 3 and 4,000 feet. It's about a kilometer.
Which is
a kilometer, a little over a kilometer.
Which is
miles.
Like
a half a mile.
About a little over half a mile. Between half a mile and 3/4 of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So half a mile and 3/4 of a mile to come to Beit Lechem. Now, if you start, Kedivir Moshe Adash, so if you start from Beit Lechem, Yehuda, anywhere Beit Lechem, Yehuda, and you go north, half a mile, 3/4 of a mile, you're not going to get to Yerushalayim. Old Yerushalayim, right?
Yeah.
Right? Certainly not north of Yerushalayim. So this only works, this interpretation, if Rachel is buried south of Yerushalayim, at least within a half a mile or 3/4 of a mile of what we refer to as the old city of Beit Lechem, unless it's a different Beit Lechem, right? Which could be complicated. However, Rashi goes on to say that there's a reason she's buried there. Vek berasham, says Rashi, v'lo halachtia, afilu lebet lechem. I didn't even bring her into Beit Lechem. Lachnisa la'aretz. Why? Yadati sheyesh b'libcha taromat, and I know you, Yosef, have on me at what we call in the old country a faribel. You know what a faribel is?
Yeah.
A taina, a complaint. Okay?
You have
a taromat. You have a complaint against me. I'm asking you to take me from Egypt, to bury me in Israel, and you've got a counter-complaint. Now, I didn't bury Rachel in Marat HaMachpelah. Aval dalacha, know this, says Rashi's quote to Yaakov's to conversation to Yosef. Shalpia dibur kvarti Hashem, I buried her there by divine decree, meaning by knowing what's going to come, I did this for a purpose. Shetehe le'ezra le'baneha, she should be an assistance to her children. When Nebuzradan, the army general of Nebuchadnezzar, when he comes to destroy Yerushalayim, will come to conquer the land, the exiles are going to pass by her grave. And then Rachel will come out of her grave, and she will cry, and she will beseech God for compassion, as it says, Rachel, a voice is heard in Ramah, a voice crying for her children, and God will answer her. God says to Rachel, there is a reward for your crying, for your tears, and your children will return home. Remember that verse in a moment. We'll come back to it in a second. But says Rashi, the reason Rachel was buried there was because the exiles are going to come past Kever Rachel, and she's going to come stand at her graveside and pray for her children. And therefore she needs to be there on the road so that the exiles can pass her by.
Is that when they're going down to Egypt?
No, they're going north.
Oh.
Nebuzradan is north to Bavo.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, Rashi very carefully mentions Nebuzradan. If you look at the source of this Medrash in Rashi, which is source 3, why did Yaakov bury her b'derech Efrat? Yaakov saw in the prophecy that the exiles are going to pass by her. Therefore, he buried her there so that she should beseech God for compassion, as it says, Kol b'ramah nishma. What's missing in the source of the Medrash in source 3 in Bereshit Rabbah? There's no mention of Nebuzradan. Zero mention of Nebuzradan. Why? Rashi adds Nebuzradan to the conversation. Nebuzradan, remember, the Jews go into exile several times. Nebuzradan is the general of Nebuchadnezzar in his exile of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the fall of Yehuda. Excuse me?
The fall of Yehuda, Israel.
Nebuzradan? Nebuchadnezzar is Yehuda, I think.
So who destroyed Israel?
Sennacherib. It's very important because Rashi is consistent. In Rashi's worldview, Kevur Rachel is in Beit Lechem, north of Beit Lechem, and then it's the southern kingdom of Judah that is going to exile at this time. And therefore, it's everybody from Hebron up north have to pass. That's why she's not buried in Hebron. She's buried in Beit Lechem, so that all the exiles have to go north from right in order to pass by. However, in the Medrash, there's no mention of that. The Medrash mentions that the Jews will pass by her grave, but makes no mention of Nebuzaradan. Why? Okay, flip the page over again. Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph on the left-hand side of the page. Komar Hashem. This is the Nevuah, right? This is where Rachel is crying for her children. Komar Hashem. Kol Biraman Yishma. Translate. A voice is heard. Or?
From the height.
On high. Okay? A voice is heard. In other words, if you tell somebody to speak up in Hebrew, to speak louder, you say, speak Bekol Ram. Okay, raise your kol brama nishma. Voice is heard on high, meaning loudly, or a voice is heard in Ramah. Now, Ramah is a city. Ramah is the capital city of the tribal territory of. Try to take a good guess. Ramah is the tribal capital of Binyamin. Okay, Ramah is the tribal capital of Binyamin. So. This gets very complicated now, because what does Kol Ramani mean? Is it the city of Ramah? Is Rachel crying in Shevet Binyamin in the city of Ramah? Or is Rachel crying in Shevet Yehuda and her voice is heard on high? Mm. So translate the phrase.
You get to choose which one you like?
Well, yes, and I'll tell you why. Because take a look at the Nevuah. Rachel crying for her children. Your children will return to their territory, to their boundaries. This is the promise to Rachel. We read these psukim in the Musaf of Yom Rosh Hashanah. Look at the next verse. Shamoa shamati Ephraim mitnoded. I've heard your cries, Ephraim, in your journeys. Skip down to Pasuketet. Taben yakuli Ephraim im yeled shashuim. This entire Nevuah is not talking about the exiles of Judah and the fall of Yushalayim and the fall of the Beit HaMikdash. This entire Perek is a Nevuah of Yirmiyahu to the northern kingdom of Ephraim, to Shevet Ephraim, to Malchut Ephraim, when they went into exile 100 years earlier. And Rachel is crying for the return of her children are Ephraim and Menashe and Yosef. This Nevuah is not talking about Malchut Yehuda. And if it's talking about Malchut Yisrael, there's no way they could get to Beit Lechem if they're going from Ephraim, north. So Rashi very carefully says the Galut we're talking about is Nebuzaradan, because it puts him here. But that's not necessarily convincing. Or it doesn't have to be that way. We could be talking about the northern kingdom, and she could be buried near Ramah, which would be a different picture.
Yirmiyahu
is not before. Yirmiyahu is speaking to the one of the tasks of Yirmiyahu. This is a conversation for Sefer Yirmiyahu, Sefer Malachim. But one of the jobs Yirmiyahu had, and this Nevuah is part of it, was to go to the north and reach out to the. This is 100 years later. Yirmiyahu accompanies the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the fall of Yehuda. But he's speaking to the exiles of the northern kingdom of Ephraim 100 years later, begging them to come home. And in fact, according to one opinion in the Gemara, which is how we paskin, in fact, Yirmiyahu goes to the north and he brings back the tribes of the exiles. And that essentially puts an end to the myth about the lost tribes. According to the Gemara, there's a machloket, whether the northern tribes are ever destined to return, or destined to return only in the time of Mashiach, with a third opinion, which is Yirmiyahu hechziran v'yoshiyahu malach alehen. Yirmiyahu brought them back and Yoshiyahu reigned over them. End of story. And that nevuah is part of that conversation. So that's a different piece of it, but it's certainly there. All right. Turn to the Ramban, source 7. Flip side of the page again. I'll show you something fascinating. The Ramban on this pasuk of Kivrat Aretz starts with a completely different interpretation. And he says, Kivrat Aretz, Menachem Piresh Melashon Kabir Malach Rav. Menachem, who's one of the commentaries, explains this as the language of Kivrat Aretz, Kabir, strong, lots, big. Malach Rav, a distance. Oh, there's a long journey to get to Efrat. Oh, Kivrat Aretz to get to Efrat. It's not a measurement. It's an expression, which, by the way, is still true in modern Hebrew today. That's how the expression is used. Od Kivrat Aretz means...
Yeah, ways to go.
A long ways to go. Take a look at the end of the second paragraph. I'm going to skip a lot of the technicalities, but he says in the end of the second paragraph, Uperusha. Shi'ur malach eretz min haboker ad le'et ha'ochel. Ki ken yisharu kol hochei darach. It's about the distance it takes to go from morning till night. It's a day's journey. A full day's journey is not half a kilometer. Not half a mile. A full day's journey, assuming even with Rachel in tow and with family in tow and with the children and with the cattle, a full day's journey could be 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers, could easily go from somewhere in the, right, you could imagine somewhere in the northern, north of Yerushalayim, somewhere in the middle of Beit El, somewhere in the middle of Shevet Binyamin, and he's looking at Beit Lechem, is his destination, if he's in fact looking at Beit Lechem Yehuda, and saying, oh, I couldn't get there, I couldn't even get to Beit Lechem, let alone to Hebron, because, oh, I got a day's journey to get to Beit Lechem. That would put him where? North of Yerushalayim. Because remember, he's coming down from Beit El. He's just leaving Beit El. You look at the map. If you just go south of Beit El, literally, goes from south of Beit El to Yerushalayim, just south of Beit El, you get to the city of Ramah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay? Right by where it says Givon and Giv'ah.
Four words under.
Draw a line between Beit El and Yerushalayim.
Okay, here's
Beit El. Or start from Yerushalayim. You always know how to find Yerushalayim and go due north. Start from Yerushalayim, go due north.
See where it says it's Beit El? Go straight down, you'll see Ramah. To the left is Gibeon.
Beit El. To find Beit El, go four words under Beit El.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right. Right.
So from there to Beit Lechem Yehuda is, I could see that as a day's journey. And Kol Beramah Nishma, that's the city. Ramah is a city, the capital city of Shevet Binyamin.
That's a walking.
That's a day's journey. Od Kivat Eretz Lavo Efrata. Even if Efrat is Efrat of Beit Lechem Yehuda. Now says the Ramban. Okay, I got to finish this in 4 minutes. Now says the Ramban. In the bold print in the third paragraph. Ze katavti tchila. This is what I originally wrote. First two paragraphs is what I originally wrote. However, achshav shezachiti uvati ani li Yerushalayim, now that I made aliyah, and I was zochet to come to Yerushalayim, shebeach le'el atov ametiv, God, thank God, ra'iti be'enai she'ein ben kvurat rachel le'bet lechem afilu mil. I saw with my own eyes that between Beit Lechem and Kever Rachel is not more than a distance of a mil. A mil is like half a mile. A mil is short. And therefore he changes his perush and reinterprets the phrase the way Rashi does. In other words, what happened to the Ramban? The Ramban based on pure text, always assumed that the distance between Kever Rachel and Beit Lechem was the distance of a day's journey. But then he came to Yerushalayim. And what did he find when he came to Yerushalayim? He asked the local population where Kever Rachel was. And the local population of the 12th century in the land of Israel were essentially Christians left over from the Crusades, and they said to them that the tradition of Kever Rachel is here. We have this tradition of Kever Rachel's location goes back to the Second Temple period. It's a very old tradition. And it was preserved by the local population of the Christians. Beit Lechem was a Christian city up until recently.
Yeah.
So it was the Christians who identified the location for him. There's actually a phrase in the New Testament that places the location of Kever Rachel where it is today. And he comes to, and Beit Lechem is very important for Christian theology as well, right? So he comes to the land of Israel, and he comes to this place, and they say to him, this is Kever Rachel. So he says, well, now I've got to change my parish because
it's not a day's journey.
And so he reinterprets according to Rashi. Whereas, the question really becomes, who says that tradition, which is preserved by the Christian traditions of Beit Lechem, is in fact accurate?
Right. But if it's not, who's there?
We don't know. I can assume two things. If it's not, I would assume A, it's somebody of importance, we don't necessarily who, because they had on their kever a very large monument. It was a Jewish grave of a very significance. If it's not Rachel Imenu, we don't know who it is, but it's of significance. Where is Rachel Imenu? Assuming that there's another possibility. I didn't show you, and I've run out of time, but I didn't show you in sources 4 and 5, Bezrat Hashem, since we are having a class next week, I will start with that next week, which are the alternative readings of this verse, if Kever Rachel is in Shevet Binyamin, in Shevet Yehuda, what do I do with this verse? There's a flip side, right, which is to reinterpret this verse. But there's also an opinion in the Midrash, I'll show you where it is, in the Sifrei, in source 2, second paragraph, that says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Bechelko Shel Binyamin Bina Meta, that Rachel died in the territorial region of her son's Shevet of Binyamin. So we do actually have a very old tradition in the opinion of Rabbi Meir that says that Kev Rachel is in Shevet Binyamin. So it's not, they weren't drawing at straws. There really was a dispute amongst the sages as to whether or not Kever Rachel, which is, again, you're talking about a Second Temple tradition, time-wise, about something which goes back to Sefer Bereishit. There is an article written by Professor Elitzur and a counter-article written by somebody by the name of... I forgot the name. It's published. The articles are available on the internet. That was written in the 50s or 60s about the possibility of the discovery of a group of large unmarked stone monuments of graves north of Yerushalayim around the area of Ramah, which the Arabs kept as a tradition by name as Kuvrat Yisrael. There's 5 of these large monuments, and the Arabs identify them as Jewish graves, Kuvrat Yisrael. We don't know who's buried there. This article argues that, in his opinion, is the actual location of Kever Rachel, according to these psukim in Sefer Shmuel.
Why haven't the Arabs destroyed them?
No, because they actually...
That's
a very modern perspective, right? The Arabs preserved all the traditions of biblical names of cities and locations and holy places and kvarot and the Arabs preserved them all. It's only really modern political flip that they destroy them. On the contrary, mm-hmm. Historically, they would never destroy them. They were considered holy.
There are a lot of buses that go to that place.
I would add one more piece, postscript, to this conversation. I once asked this question to Rav Yoel Ben Nun. This issue has been gnawing at me since my very first tour in Israel as a teenager in 1982, in the year that I went to Yeshiva. The very first time I went to Kev Rachel, and our tour guide went through all the sources. She's an interesting individual altogether, but that's a separate story. And was quite convinced that Rachel Imenu is north of Yerushalayim, not where she was. So I once asked this question to Rav Yoel Ben Nun. So first he hemmed and he hawed and he kind of avoided the question. And I said, no, really. So he said, look, if you ask me my opinion from a textual point of view, I think this northern opinion is probably more accurate. However, so I said, so what do you do? How do you understand Kev Recha? So he said, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't really matter. Because we don't daven to the deceased anyway. You're not allowed to daven to the deceased. You daven to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So a monument is there to evoke the memory, the tears, the emotions, and the sensitivity of who the monument represents. So whether Rachel is physically buried in the location of Kever Rachel or north of Yerushalayim, it doesn't matter. Because the matzeva that Jewish history has identified as the location where Rachel Imenu's memory is evoked and tears are shed and prayers are articulated, is there. And so from the perspective of the tefillot that we say, evoking the memory of Rachel Imenu, there's no other place to go except to Kever Rachel. Whether historically, textually, Tanakh perspective, when you're studying a text, then already we have to be a little bit more discerning in terms of what's going on in the background of the story. So that's the, maybe I should have started with that, but I thought I would end with that, as to where this story all leads us.